Today's reading is from Daniel, chapter 2, verses 25 through 30. Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that passed through your mind as you were lying in bed are these. As your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than anyone else alive, but so that your majesty may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. Being different can be hard, but sometimes it's the better choice. We are starting a new sermon series today, and that is different. And we will follow Daniel over the next couple of weeks. Not the Daniel we can follow on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram today, but Daniel of the Old Testament, Daniel the prophet who lived in ancient Israel at time. And we will look through the difficult choices, difficult decisions that he made, and to fulfill the commitment that he was called to do. We will learn the difficult decisions he took. We will tell the difficult truths that he told to do what he was called to do. But before that, I have a video to show you, and before that, we will pray. Let us begin with a prayer. Holy and gracious God, I ask for you, Holy Spirit. God, breathe your spirit on all of us gathered here, so we may receive your word. We may receive your word and embrace that. We may receive and embrace that in our lives. Tell us the truth. We are ready to hear. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Watch this video.
Hi.
Hey.
I've made plans for later in case this date doesn't go well.
Likewise. But funny story, on top of that, my mom is my best friend.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the rescue text from my roommate saying she needs me. I've had a wonderful time tonight.
Me too.
Call me tomorrow?
I'm gonna send a vague text in a couple days that leaves you confused about my level of interest.
I'll wait a full 2 days before responding.
Perfect. We're never gonna see each other again, will we?
No, no.
The illustration I'm going to use is borrowed from one of John Ortberg's sermons, and I found this illustration the best fitting for the point that I want to make. And John Ortberg, you many know that he's a great preacher, and most of us hear him on podcasts or other medias. So here is the illustration. Imagine that you are in a doctor's office for a routine checkup, and the doctor tells you this. You are a magnificent physical specimen. You have a body of an Olympian, and you are so excited, and you walk out from the doctor's office thinking that, I knew that I was fit. I knew that I was fit, but I don't know how my wife thinks about that, and she always, or how my husband thinks about that, and they tell me about, honey, there is something wrong with you. You must go to see the doctor. You need to see the doctor. And you are excited about that, what doctor has told you. And later that day, while you're climbing the stairs, your heart gives out. And you later find out that you were only one jelly donut away from the Grim Reaper. That is kind of scary, isn't it? And you go back to the doctor and you ask, why didn't you tell me that? Why didn't you tell me the truth? And the doctor says, well, I knew that your body was worse than a Pillsbury doughboy. But I couldn't tell you that, because if I tell stuff like this to the people, they get offended and they don't come back, and that is bad for the business. And I want this to be a place where you feel accepted and loved. Well, when it comes to your body, you want the truth. You want to hear the truth when it comes to your body. And it's obvious that when something matters to us, we don't want illusory comfort based on pain avoidance, pain. We want the truth. Yes, you are getting it. We want the truth. So wait a second. Doesn't it sound like we do exactly with others what doctor did to us as we imagined? We tell others exactly what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. And we do this all the time. We do this with our friends. We do this with our spouses. We do this with our children and parents. We tell our friends, you are doing great. You are looking great, when we know that they are not doing great and there is a truth to tell. We tell our spouses, honey, you are awesome. I don't have anything in my heart against you, but you know the truth that this is not true. There is a truth to tell. But we don't. Because we want people to be in a space, we want them to give them a space where they can feel loved and accepted. And we don't tell the truth. Here is another truth about the truth. When it comes to hear the truth, we want to hear the truth that we want to hear, not what we need to hear. And I experience this all the time. I believe that human nature is wired like this, that we want to hear the truth, what we want to hear, not what we need to hear. And I experience this all the time. When someone tells me a truth that I need to hear but I don't want to hear, I shut myself down. I protect myself with a shield, with a protection shield to keep myself away from the truth, because I don't want to hear the truth that I need to hear, because I want to hear the truth what I want to hear. And if someone tells me, for instance, if my wife tells me that you are being harsh with either with her or with the children, this is my first inclination to that. And many times I act out of that. Instead of listening to the truth, listening and paying attention to the truth my wife is telling me, I respond differently. I come up with a reasoning. I shield myself with a shield of reasoning, and I spend my energy in justifying my behavior. Because it's difficult to handle the truth. When someone tells me that I am not as productive as I'm expected, I refuse to hear that, because it's difficult to handle the truth. It's difficult to handle the truth. And sometimes we don't tell the truth because we think that people will, we assume that telling the truth can be risky for our relationships. Your fear may be that people will shut you down. There may be a risk or fear of rejection. People may say, it's none of your business. Friends, if any of these reasons sound your obstacle in telling the truth, welcome to the club. We all think and feel alike when it comes to the truth telling. We all think and feel alike, don't we? John Ortberg says the truth about the truth. The truth will set you free, The truth will set you free, but first it will make you miserable. Isn't it real? Our telling the truth to others will make them miserable, but will set them free. Others telling truth to us will make us miserable, and it will, but at the end, we will be free. It will set us free. So it's important to learn how to tell the truth. It's important to learn the truth and to hear the truth. So why should we tell the truth? Why should we do that? Why should we put our relationships at risk? Why should we take the risk to be rejected? Why should we take the risk to hear that it's none of your business? Why should we do that? And how to do it? How can we tell the truth? Bible tells us to tell the truth in love. How can we do that? How can we practice that? What are the tools? What are the tools that we can use to master the skills to tell the truth in a loving way? Because Bible tells us to tell the truth in love. So these are the questions that we are going to wrestle with in today's sermon. So let us begin with, before that, let's unpack Daniel's story first. So we heard the scripture about Daniel, and here is what's going on. The king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, he has dreamed a dream. And here's the funny thing. He is asking the other people to tell what his dream was. He has called his wise men, his enchanters, his diviners, his astrologers, and he is asking them to tell me my dream, what I have dreamed, before you interpret. So now this is scary because they have the expertise to interpret the dreams and tell about the future. They don't have the expertise to tell the dream. How can someone do it? But this is what he's asking for. He's the king. He can ask for anything. So they come with, hey, king, this is not possible. We cannot do it. And the king is furious. He's angry. And he orders the killing of all the wise men in his kingdom. And Daniel is one of those. So Daniel, he's the one who was captive from Israel, and he is serving in the court. And he knows about this killing, and he asked the king for some time. Hey, king, give me some time, and I will get back to you with the answer. Daniel goes, he prays to the God, and he asks for help. He asks for the mystery, and God reveals the mystery to Daniel and reveals the interpretation to Daniel. What is the meaning of that dream, and what is the dream itself? So Daniel knows that. Now Daniel prays again and praises God for that, and now he goes back to the king. They are in front of each other, and the first question that the king asks is this: are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? So in other words, the king is saying, Daniel, no one is able in my kingdom to do it. No wise man was able to tell my dream. Are you any different? Can you do any better than those? And this is what Daniel says. No wise man, no enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. This is so powerful, and I want us to pay attention to this. This is what Daniel could have said, I think. Daniel could have said this: oh, king, there is only one man in your kingdom who can answer your question, who can reveal the mystery to you, and that is no one else but Daniel. I have the ability. I am better than your people. I am better than all your wise men, enchanters, and diviners, and astrologers. I can reveal you the mystery to you. I have the secret knowledge to do that. It could be about I, and God nowhere in conversation. But Daniel did the opposite. He does the opposite. He does not make it about himself. Rather, he acknowledges his human insufficiency. He acknowledges his own imperfection and tells the truth. He knows that this is an opportunity. He knows that this is the time to tell the king the truth. Daniel tells the king the truth that no wise man, no enchanter, no astrologer, no diviner can tell the mystery the king has asked about. In other words, Daniel is saying that Babylonian wisdom is of no use. He is challenging the Babylonian wisdom by which the wise men interpreted the dream and told the future. And Daniel is telling the king the truth that the worldly wisdom is nothing but merely foolishness. And Daniel takes even a greater risk. And he tells a higher truth, a greater reality. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. The ultimate truth comes from God, not from any other gods or the human beings. So here is something very important. Telling the truth could have been extremely dangerous for Daniel because King Nebuchadnezzar, he knew the pagan gods. He knew pagan gods and worshipped him. And now right in front of his face, Daniel is telling him about a God in heaven. But Daniel tells the truth that he was called to. What says Daniel next tells us how humble he was while telling the truth. And this is what he says. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have a greater wisdom than anyone else, but so that your majesty may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. Notice the great deal of humility that Daniel demonstrates here. Instead of taking credit, he glorifies the God. He glorifies the gods of heaven and tells the king the truth. Here is another point in this verse. Telling the truth is to bless others, not to curse others. Telling the truth is to help others, not to harm them, not to damage them. And God is trying to speak to this man, the king, through Daniel. But if he won't respond, he won't hear and embrace the truth, the outcome is impossible. Daniel tells the king the dream and the interpretation. And the dream is about the God has revealed to the king in his dream that his kingdom will be destroyed. It's going to be a terrible fate of his kingdom. And there are three other kingdoms to be followed, the Persian and the Greek and then Roman. And they will be destroyed exactly like this. And then there will be a kingdom forever. And that will be the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's the truth that's been revealed to the king in his dream. The truth from the dream, though bitter, was good for the king, I think. The king knows the truth now. He's been told that what is to come. He has the time to prepare and make necessary decisions for the future. And it was helpful to the king to know the truth. I encourage you to read the book of Daniel over the next couple of weeks. This is a really fascinating book, telling about the prophecy and the future and what was the meaning of the dream. So I encourage you to read that. As soon as the king hears the interpretation, something extraordinary happens. And this is what it happens. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense to be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings, and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." What if Daniel had feared King Nebuchadnezzar and withheld the truth about God of heaven and about the truth about the future of the kingdom. But Daniel told a painful truth. The truth made the king miserable, but that set him free from the trouble he was in. He was not able to sleep. He was disturbed. But now he knows the truth. He knows what is to come. God wants us to tell the truth even if it may bring trouble. Daniel did something different. That's the king was asking him, are you able to do that? Are you any different? And Daniel did something different. And the king liked that. And when king prostrates before himself before Daniel, it is the God of Daniel that the king is honoring. People appreciate when you tell the truth. One of the famous saying about the truth that comes from a famous, well-known movie called A Few Good Men. And there is a scene when Tom Cruise is examining Jack Nicholson and is asking for the truth. And he's asking for the truth, and Jack Nicholson is holding back the truth, and he doesn't want to tell the truth. But Tom Cruise wants the truth, and the arguments, they're heated, and they get loud, and so I'm going to get loud, so bear with me. And the Tom Cruise asks, I want the truth. You can't handle it. The point is, sometimes we think that we don't tell people the truth because we think that they cannot handle it. And we withhold the truth because of this assumption that they cannot handle it. We can handle the truth. We have the capacity to handle the truth, and so do others. And Jesus says about it, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, who would you listen to? Jesus or Jack? Of course, Jesus. We will know the truth, and it will set us free. We can handle the truth, and so do others. So why should we tell the truth? Because we are called to do that. We are called to tell the truth. How do we know that we are called to tell the truth? Because Jesus has called you the light of the world. He says, you are the light of the world. And Greek word for the light is phos, which when translated into English means a divine illumination to reveal and impart life through Jesus Christ. Isn't it powerful? People can see realities through you. God can use you as a source of illumination for others. Through you, people can come to see the truth. That is why we are called to tell the truth. So how we do it? How we do this truth-telling business? Here are some truths to consider about truth-telling. And the first is, not every truth needs to be told. You know what I'm saying, right? Not every truth needs to be told. We don't need to pick on each other in the name of truth-telling. That's not what we are called to do. Every truth is not to be told. Number two, tell the truth to the people you love. When Rupa tells me that I am being harsh with the kids, she is doing so because she wants me to have a good relationship with my kids and herself. And if she saw that pattern in me and never said something about it, it would be unloving for her, because over the time, I would know my kids and herself less and less. So tell the truth, the people you know, you love. When to tell the truth? So it should be when the Holy Spirit is urging us to tell it because of your care and your concern for that person. Understand that a lot of people say whatever they want to say in the name of truth-telling. Have you heard that? They can say anything in the name of truth-telling, and that's not what we are asking. That's not what I am preaching. If you are going to be a truth-teller, you have to know the difference between the prompting of God and when you are in a bad mood with no regulator on your mouth. We need to know this difference. Let me remind you again that truth-telling needs to be in love. And Apostle Paul helps us with that in Ephesians. Speak the truth in love. Here is what I suggest when we do the truth-telling business, when we tell the truth. First, pray about it. Pray about the truth before you tell. This is what Daniel did. Put the truth, put that before God and ask for help. Ask for the words that he wants you to use while telling the truth. That is what Daniel did. He asked God for the help. He asked God for the message. He asked for the truth to be told to the king, as well as how to share that message, how to tell that truth. Pray yourself. Pray for yourself and those involved in that. Number two, God first. So like Daniel put God first in everything. Telling the truth to glorify God will make the truth authentic and acceptable. Do not seek to or expect any praise or respect for yourself when you tell the truth. Talk about what God desires and wants for them, not what you expect or desire for them. Put God first. Replace the I want language with what God wants language. Be humble. Daniel did not consider himself greater than any wise man in Babylon. He knew his own insufficiencies. He knew his own imperfection. And remember, when you're telling the truth, remember that no one is perfect. You are not perfect. So remember that when you're telling the truth, so be humble. You might have been or maybe in future where the other person is today. So be humble. Be the messenger. Daniel did what he was called to do. He told the truth boldly. He did his job. And when you tell the truth, remember that there may not be a sudden change. There may not be a sudden change in a person or in a situation. You be the messenger of the truth only. Let God take it from there. Give others a space to embrace the truth. Being different can be hard. And it can be difficult to be different than some malpracticing doctor. It can be so tempting to withhold the truth out of fear of rejection, losing a friend, or being fired from the job. Fear of shutdown, rejection, discouragement, disappointment, or being hurt. If any of these reasons is true for you, take heart. Jesus had these too. He was discouraged. He was shut down. He was disappointed. But he told the truth until the very last moment of his life. So this week, challenge yourself to tell the truth to someone you love. It may be your spouse, a parent, a child, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, or boss. Or it may be you. Probably you need to tell a truth to yourself. The truth, tell them the truth they want to hear, not what they need to hear. So you can tell the truth in two ways. The first way you can tell the truth is this. And you can imagine the results if you tell the truths like this. You don't tell the truth to hurt anyone. You tell the truth to bless others. And you don't want to do it. This is not what God wants. The other way, the best way is to tell the truth is this. Tell the truth with love. Because the truth you are telling is you have been called to tell the truth that can transform others, that can heal others, that can bring healing and transformation instead of destruction and harm. Tell the truth in love. And the truth does not have to be only about anything bad. You can tell a truth about something good you find in others. It may be you something find amazing in your spouse and you want to appreciate that. That's a truth. You want to appreciate that. And she might have not heard that truth from anywhere. So tell the truth not only to for something good as well. So it may be something they really need to work on, tell the truth in love. Or it may be that you have experienced and witnessed God's grace and you want to tell the truth with others, so it may be transformational for them. So tell the truth because you are called to do it, but do it with extra care and love. Amen.